Strap yourself in and adjust your mirrors for maximum visibility. It's time for Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Kia ora and good morning, Kirsten. Are you there, Kirsten? Hello? Hello? Why is that not working?
Oh, yep, here I am.
There you are. There you are.
That's right.
Okay, let me just turn those down. Ah, okay, you're coming through loud and clear now, Kirsten.
That's good. That's good.
Now, this morning for Travelling Tunes, what are we chatting about?
So we're doing Fat Man Scoop, and I got to be honest, I hadn't really thought about him or known much about him before, but he passed away this week. And, you know, so there's a lot of news items on him, all the big, NPR, BBC, Vulture, you know, everyone was doing items on him. And so I just had a look at him and I thought, you know, instead of reading a news article, let's listen to him while we talk about him.
Mm-hmm. What track should we start with, Kirsten?
Let's start with his first one, Be Faithful, 1999.
I feel somehow like I know this song. So was it a big hit in the time when it came out?
It's funny. Everything says it was an air quotes minor hit, but
minor
it was
hit.
It was in the movie Save the Last Dance, so you probably saw that.
Okay.
But yeah, and it uses a lot of samples, you know, that are well-known samples.
Yes.
Jay-Z, Naughty by Nature. So 1999, just iconic. But it captures him, because some of the articles we're talking about, when he's talking about what denominations of bills to throw. Because what he did was quite different. Like, they'll call him a rapper, and he did rap, but what he's famous for is what you're hearing on this track.
Like, just hype man.
That's right, hype man. So it's like, yeah, that's the thing. We all know what it is, but what is a hype man, and why do people have hype mans? Is that a job, and can you apply for it?
Is it a job? Good question, Kirsten.
Well, you know, because we think DJ, if you think hip-hop, you think, you know, DJ, MC,
yep,
breakdancer, you know, no one thought of hype man. But I think it's very much about the origins of hip-hop was about liveness. You know, the phenomenon of rapping originally wasn't writing a rap and recording it.
Mm.
It was making it up as you go along.
Yes.
Looking at someone in the crowd, what's he wearing, what's she wearing, who came in with that person. And same with even DJing. You know, it's supposed to be live. You're supposed to watch them mix these records live. And then breaking, obviously, you know, wasn't meant to be recorded. It was meant to be, you know, right there on the street. So this is from that era, but it kind of lasted because his was so party oriented, and in the 90s you have EDM, big party dance scene. And I read one good thing, it said it's like a party instruction manual, you know, right now.
Okay. Yes, it does. He's just making statements.
Yeah, he's telling you how to party. another great article said, in his voice, because he's got such a great gravelly voice, you can hear every cigarette he smoked.
Ah, so good. Kind of, as you mentioned on email to me, very reminiscent of Savage.
I know, because, you know, when you Savage, who's a New Zealand rapper who's just done so well globally, and when you hear him, there was a familiarity, but, you know, I couldn't put my finger on who does Savage sound like, you know, but I'm trying to think of other artists. But, yeah, definitely this gravelly voice, because I don't know, because actually Savage, the New Zealand rapper, I've, you know, been following his career since he was really young, so this is not from packs of cigarettes, but, I mean, that's that gravelly call that, yeah, makes you get up off your seat and go do things.
What track should we play next, Kirsten?
Well, let's play. This is his big one. This is the one that's probably most famous for him. And this is Lose Control with Missy Elliott. So as a hype man, right? He didn't have huge success necessarily with his like personal singles, but he appeared on so many people's albums. This is his famous one, but he also did his hype man thing on Mariah Carey, Janet Jackson's Skrillex, Lil Jon, who also has a gravelly voice.
So he's like 0800 hype man. If you need him, he's there.
Absolutely. You're right. And you know, this is kind of sad and weird. He literally died on stage. He collapsed on stage.
Yes.
Yeah. Performing. 56 years old, which I know to some of you seems, wow, that is so old. But to some people, no, that's not as old as he should have been.
So obviously this is a huge classic Missy Elliott track, but this Fat Man Scoop just making statements in the background.
Throw your hands in the air. It's one of the most phenomenal videos. Get your hands up. But the video's really great too. So this is 2005, still going.
So he's dropping a classic call and response type thing.
But yeah, but see, the response is us.
Yes.
Like
the crowd.
Call and response with the crowd. Yeah. Mm. And that's a big part of sort of hip hop live as well. Often, so many of us listen to hip hop recorded and fine, yeah. That's great on the radio or collecting albums. But yeah, the live experience of being drawn in to participate, instead of just sit there like an audience and just observe. One other point I was going to make about his, I guess it goes with Missy Elliott as well, is being called Fat Man Scoop, okay? Apparently that was a name he was called since he was a kid because he liked ice cream. And then later in his life, he tried to start an ice cream business. Fat Man Scoop. But I was going to say there's a historical thing with the blues, going back to the blues in the 1930s and 40s, of having these names like Blind Lemon Jefferson, and because just to distinguish each other with people with the same name.
Yes.
So you would have Fat Man or Blind Man or Tall or Slim. It sounds insulting, I guess. But then it was, it was just a way of, getting your own sort of persona known and, differentiate people that might have similar names.
Now, Fat Man Scoop's obviously been at it since the 90s. How would his style of hype man / rapping how would that have influenced other musical genres or subcultures since he started doing it?
Well, I think it's his role with the liveness. I mean, I can't even imagine him on a Mariah Carey song. And then the third track we're going to play today is sort of more from an EDM, European group. But just bringing that live party element to any genre, I guess, obviously, because we're talking hip hop, but not strictly rap. We're talking almost sort of like dance tracks, mm-hmm. aren't we, today, and stuff like that. And
this is actually a really new track. This is only like a month old.
Oh, this one now?
Yes, the Bingo Players and Disco Fries with Fat Man Scoop.
Here's the weird thing. It came out on the day he died.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So they collaborated with him and, made this track with him. This is our party. We gon' leave the music on. These are our drinks. We gon' drink until it's gone.
There we go, creeping over from hip hop and rap over to EDM.
Yeah, so Bingo Players, what is one guy now, but he's a Dutch dance DJ, right? So that's mm-hmm. very EDM.
Yes.
And then an American duo, Disco Fries, and they've been collaborating together, and then they just got the idea to call this guy and have him on the track. Obviously not knowing, this would be his last ever track. one review of it said it's a high energy festival ready anthem. And but I think that festival ready, you know, shows what we were talking about, that sort of liveness that we don't, you know, that we sometimes forget about, especially down here in Aotearoa, you know, like so much of what we're getting is recorded. But also even that it's an anthem, you know, so that's something that everybody sings along together.
Mm.
And another review said the unity and energy of the rave scene. So, you know, yeah, like you said, shifting genres and having it just be just as relevant.
He's definitely just living in the world of like parties and good times, yeah. Right?
Yeah, but you know, talking about his ice cream business, just, you know, he did a lot of other weird things. It was funny reading some of the bios about him. He also was on a season of Big Brother, a celebrity Big Brother, and he was on like another reality show where they brought British artists to the States to try to make it big. He did a lot of voiceovers on this animated show. I don't know if people know Boondocks. It's the African-American animated show. Mm. So like just trying to put a career together, you know, because obviously, you know, hype man is not enough, and he didn't have that. I mean, I'm you know, sure he made money from all the stuff he did, but he still sort of put together this sort of, I guess, entertainment career, just doing lots of different bits and pieces. You know, it's the hustle.
Someone just texted through wondering who was first, Scoop or Savage. And maybe, Scoop by a nose, but they're kind of happening at the same time, you know?
Well, Savage had been around being like a rapper, but I think using Savage more as the hype man, you know, rather than doing his own raps, you know,
yes. Yep.
That evolution into but yeah, that's a really good question. But yeah, seeing him evolve into like the hype man role, I think, yeah, that's people sort of copying Scoop and going, you know what? I think that, you know, this great artist Savage, you know, sounds, you know, has that similar vibe and what he can do. But yeah, no, I think about XC Savage on, that original remix he did with Scribe, where he calls out Te Pito Sao Te Akilani, when he calls out South Auckland. You know, that's just total hype, man.
Yes, you know? I reckon we should probably play that. I know, bit of Savage creeping into Fat Man Scoop's tribute. But hey, Kirsten, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning. We'll look forward to speaking with you next Friday.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Fat Man Scoop. Let's outro out of this, and yeah, we'll see you next Friday, Kirsten.
Okay, bye.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.